Let's talk about why your brain absolutely loves worrying about things you cannot control. I mean,
Yeah.
it is not just a bad habit, right? You are actually getting a very real dopamine hit from the outrage.
Yeah, it's a brilliant, well, a highly frustrating neurological trap. Your brain basically interprets worrying about external drama as actual problem solving.
So you get that neurochemical reward of productivity without any of the actual effort.
Exactly. You get the reward without the physical risk of taking action. It's incredibly efficient from the brain's perspective.
I call it faux productivity. And honestly, it is the perfect entry point for today's deep dive. We are looking at week 13, day one of the Laws of Life workbook.
Oh, this great section.
It really is. Our mission today is to prep you for the exercises on Law 13, which is to live life primarily in your circles of control and influence and leave everything else for, mere awareness.
Right. Most people are familiar with those circles, control, influence, and concern, but the underlying neuroscience of how our brains allocate energy across them is just fascinating. We are essentially dealing with your temporal capital.
Temporal capital. I love that term.
Yeah, because you have strictly limited cognitive resources and a rigid, unyielding 24 hours in a day cannot be banked or saved.
And unlike money, temporal capital just, it vanishes whether you spend it intentionally or just let it leak out.
Yeah.
But I want to push back on this a little bit.
Sure, good.
If spending time in the circle of concern, like, worrying about macroeconomic trends or doom-scrolling celebrity gossip, if that is so objectively unproductive, why is it so magnetically difficult to just stop?
Because of that faux productivity trap we just mentioned, taking real, meaningful action in your circle of control, like building a difficult habit or fixing a relationship, requires immense cognitive
It
load.
is exhausting.
Highly exhausting. But simply having a strong opinion on something you can't change, that is computationally cheap. It requires almost zero energy, but it still triggers your brain's reward circuitry.
Okay, that makes so much sense from a psychological standpoint.
Yeah.
And it explains why the day one exercises in the workbook are so aggressive.
They really don't pull any
No,
punches.
they don't. These aren't just reading comprehension questions. They act like a psychological mirror to break that cheap reward cycle.
Yeah.
So first, you have to list three specific life goals.
Right.
Then you identify exactly what's stopping you right now. But there's a major catch, Devil. You aren't allowed to use lack of money as an excuse.
Which is just a fantastic design constraint. Lack of capital is usually just a problem to solve on the way to a goal, not the actual root barrier.
Exactly. And the real cognitive breakthrough happens in the very next step. You have to take those obstacles and strictly categorize them. Are they things you actually control or just things you have concern over?
Which forces a pretty uncomfortable realization for a lot of people.
It's basically a financial audit, but for your attention. You are tracking the receipts of your mental energy. Once you categorize an obstacle as a concern, you realize it's often just an internal excuse masquerading as an external barrier.
Yeah, so a thought like, the system is stopping me quickly transforms into I spent 3 hours arguing about the system online instead of working.
Spot on. When you strip away the concerns, you stop pushing against an immovable wall and start pulling the levers you actually hold.
To help you do this in real time, the workbook introduces these daily mental code rewrites. The key command is to automatically sort every single encounter into control, influence, or awareness, and then act accordingly.
Okay, but wait, I'm supposed to just actively filter every single interaction all day long. That sounds exhausting. I mean, does this actually lower my cognitive load or just add another tedious task to my plate?
It feels clunky at first, sure, like learning to drive a manual transmission. But by consciously practicing the sorting mechanism, you're physically strengthening specific neural
So
pathways.
it becomes automatic.
Exactly. Over time, it becomes an algorithmic filter. Your brain automatically prunes useless noise before it even hits your conscious awareness, which actually frees up massive amounts of processing power.
Oh, wow. Which perfectly tees up the final piece of today's work, the bedtime question. Tonight, you're supposed to ask yourself, if I had 8 extra hours a week to work on what I want, what would I do and what would I remove to reclaim them?
Such a powerful prompt.
It is, but I have to admit, leaving a question for my subconscious right before sleep sounds a bit like, I don't know, magic. Is my brain actually doing computations overnight, or is this just a placebo effect?
Oh, it is highly active processing. During REM sleep, your brain is busy consolidating memories and forming new synaptic connections.
Right.
By seeding a specific constrained problem right before sleep, you are priming the brain's default mode network. It bypasses your waking anxieties and rigid thought patterns, allowing it to connect disparate ideas.
So it finds optimization strategies you wouldn't consciously spot during the day. It's like leaving a complex algorithm running on the server overnight while the office is empty.
That is exactly what it is.
All right, well, it is time to put this into practice. Grab your workbook, reclaim your temporal capital today, and get to work on those day one questions so you are ready to tackle tomorrow's module.
Yeah, your future self is waiting to see how you allocate today's 24 hours.
But before you dive in, consider this. If worrying about things outside your control gives you a false dopamine hit, what happens when you finally starve that addiction? What uncomfortable truths about your own inaction might suddenly get very, very loud? Think about that as you face those questions today.